What is?
What is biblical counseling?
Biblical counseling will grow you from brokenness to wholeness.
I think what you just said made me look at those scenarios differently.
God replaced all my junk with a beautiful light.
God's really been changing the way that I parent my children.
The most amazing thing is the sufficiency of His Word.
This is Transformed. And now your host, Assistant Professor of Biblical Counseling at the Master's University and Certified Biblical Counselor, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Welcome back to Transform. My name is Dr. Greg Gifford, and I'm your host. We are finishing up what probably, for those of you who are faithful every week listeners, we're finishing up what feels like a very long series on the attributes of God and our emotions. I haven't done a series this long in some time. I think back to the series on masculinity. I think back to the Mind and Brain series. One was 6 episodes, another was 7. This has been 8 episodes. This is the last and final episode on the attributes of God and our emotions. And what we've done is we've provided a theology of you are actually changed and transformed as you behold the glory of God. Remember, Moses prays to behold God's glory in Exodus 33. And Paul says in 2 Corinthians 3:18 that when you behold the glory of God, you are transformed into His image. So how do we have transformed emotions? Did I say transformed? I feel like I put 2 T's in there. Or maybe I'll put 2 D's. Okay, let me stop before. The transformed emotions would be that really you can't focus on yourself. You can't wear a rubber bracelet and pop your wrist. And you can't work on breathing exercises to have emotions that are truly transformed. You need to behold the glory of God. And last but not least, we have to discuss anger. Anger as an emotion, anger as a visceral response to a perceived injustice, anger as, for some, a well-trodden path, a path of destruction and a habit that they've learned to default to. And some of you, as you're listening to this, your anger has gotten the best of you, unfortunately, and you have faced the ongoing results of living an angry life. And before we're like, yeah, take that, you angry dad. I've counseled long enough and ministered long enough to know that anger is not a guy problem or a girl problem. It's an us problem, that we are sinners who need hearts that are transformed to be able to please the Lord and to become patient, faithful, kind individuals. So anger is today's focus, and we're going to do the same thing again. Let's start with, what is anger? What's the Bible say about anger? Are there examples? And then what attributes of God do we need to behold to respond and see the Lord transform our anger into patience? So let's start with good old Merriam-Webster. You're going to appreciate this one. It's actually a little bit easier than some of the Bible lexicons because Webster doesn't use the term to define the term here. So he says, a strong feeling of displeasure and usually of antagonism. Strong feeling of displeasure. Yeah, we could get that. Pain, though, could kind of fall into that. Discomfort could fall into that, or just a lack of appreciation. Whereas anger, we are talking about there is a physiological response that is coming from an inner person response. And Robert Jones, I think, you know, I've done an episode or two on anger in the past. I still think that he has done a great job on uprooting anger and helping understand biblically and framing the topic. So in my mind, Dr. Jones is always going to be the standard. I know that a few others have written on this. Lou Priolo, who you're familiar with Transformed Marriages. And then also David Pallison did a book called Good and Angry. And both of those were really well done. But Dr. Jones says this is what anger is. It's a whole person response of judgment against another person or against a perceived evil that someone might do. And you're noticing that he brought in judgment and this response that's physiological, which I do think are helpful nuances to articulate. The idea of anger, and for many of you that have experienced this, like you know that it is an escalatory emotion. And I think that's Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, and clamor and slander be put away from you along with all malice. Think of clamor as this scoffing. You're so angry, you're making noise. You ever been so angry like your heart is palpitating or you're breathing heavy? For some of us, when we get angry, we can tell in our physical demeanor that we're angry, and others can tell too. My mad face and my sad face are not the same face because I will actually get flush. My face will get a little red and it looks like the forehead vein, you know, the thing pulsating through the middle of my forehead. It's like, oh, that got big. What's going on, Greg? I can't hide it when I'm angry. Like I'll actually have a demeanor that communicates that. My sad face is like, I'm about to cry. I'm kind of weepy. I'm not red and irritated. Like you can just tell physiologically. So Robert Jones brings up a good point that there is an outer man response that happens, but the inner man is what is this judgment or a perceived evil, a perceived judgment. So the Bible uses the term anger, I mean, everywhere. When we were talking about hurt, that was a little bit harder to get our arms around. Like, how are you relationally hurt in sadness? But I would encourage you, if you have something like a Blue Letter Bible or a Pathrite or Logos even, begin to do a study of anger and what it means. And you're going to find that generally speaking, and I'm in favor of these categories, just to be clear, but generally speaking, you're going to see a righteous and an unrighteous anger that's generally spoken of. Now, you may be saying like, yo, Dr. G, what's the matter with you? And I'm going to say, look, I was dropped on my head as a child. I didn't told you guys this. What else do you want me to say? But you're in particular, you're going to say, yo, Dr. G, why are you hesitant to say that those categories are uniformly true? Here is why I am hesitant to say that, because Ephesians 4:26 says this, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your anger and give no opportunity to the devil. All right, that is the only place in the scripture where you are told to be angry and not sin. Also in the same context, in verse 31, let all bitterness, wrath, anger be put away from you, along with all malice. So I am all for a righteous anger and an unrighteous anger. However, I do want to just be clear that unrighteous anger is the majority of anger that we wrestle with. Very few of you, and myself included, get angry over the right things and express it in the right ways. Very few. And even if you're angry that your child was not being obedient, that's great, but you got mean in the way you responded. And even if you're angry that someone ran the red light, yes, but the way that you responded was also sinful. So it's very hard for me to say, be more angry. In fact, I did take contention. Sometimes when I'm doing speaking engagements, I'll push back on individuals who either formally or like publicly or privately will come up to me and say, hey, Dr. G, you're wrong on this. And I was speaking at an engagement for a men's conference, and a guy in a public environment said, hey, I actually think the problem is that men are not more angry. We should be angrier people. And I said, the problem with that way of thinking, and I would stand by this comment, the problem with saying that men should be angrier is that the Bible does not say that. The Bible says you should be loving and grow in love, grow in grace, grow in kindness. A fruit of the Spirit is not anger. And even when you may be angry over the right things, you tend to express it in the wrong way. So I am not a man who says we should be an angrier generation. I'm a man who says we should be a patient and loving generation. And yet, I will keep a reserve, a 20% reserve for saying, and it is possible to have a righteous anger and express it in a God-honoring way. So where do we see anger throughout the scripture? I think you see it in multiple places. Here's just a few of them. First of all, Cain and Abel, easy. You know that, that sin is crouching at the door, his countenance is fallen, and we know that the murder in his heart that Jesus spoke of in Matthew 5 is what comes out because of his anger. So we have that. We have Jacob and Rachel. He responds in anger in Genesis 30 because he's not God. And Rachel wants a child. Give me children lest I die. And he says in Genesis 30, am I God? Out of his anger, he responds in that way. Am I God? The obvious answer is I am not God. Moses, in learning that the children of Israel had begun to worship the golden calf and Yahweh, they were syncretistically commingling the gods of Egypt with Aaron's help. He gets so mad in Exodus 32, verse 19, that he chucks the sacred Ten Commandments that God the Father gave him directly. And you could say righteous anger, yes. But I think you're hard-pressed to say that you lost self-control and chucked a sacred Ten Commandments, which the Lord rewrote and commissioned him again. So that's Moses' anger. Saul gets angry against Jonathan in 1 Samuel 20, verse 30. And there is an envy that takes place between Saul toward Jonathan and Jonathan's relationship with David. We see a human anger that's mentioned in Matthew 5. Do not murder, but Jesus says, verse 22, but I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council. Whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. So anger is replete. Examples of it, admonitions against it, they are replete within the scripture. And one thing to note, the one place you can be angry is in Ephesians 4, where you're angry and not sinning. Be angry and sin not. So what about the Lord? Did you know that the scripture communicates that the Lord is angry? The Lord gets angry with Moses. The Lord gets angry with the people of Israel, Numbers 11, 10. He's angry with Israel for their false worship, Numbers 25, verse 3. Or David will say in Psalm 6, rebuke me not in your anger. The Lord himself is angry. And Psalm 7, verse 6, he is angry every day. So let's do this. Let's pause here for a quick break. And when we come back, we'll jump into the attributes of God to address our anger. We'll be right back.
And we'll be back with more from Dr. Greg Gifford in just a moment. Let me switch gears for just a moment if I can. Real quick, most of you out there have never met the people who make this show possible, and you likely never will. They don't get a plaque or anything like that. They're just gospel partners. That's what we call them around here, gospel partners. They join us in our mission because they believe in our mission here at Fortis Institute so much that they wanted to make sure that every one of you listening right now would have access to the content the way you're accessing it right now, which is free. And look, our gospel partners are committed because they understand that a man somewhere who's wrecked his marriage with his temper, like Dr. Gifford is talking about, he can hear that his heart can actually change. That's why they give. That's the return on their giving. Fortis Institute, we have no advertisers. If that's the sort of thing that you want to partner with and you want to be involved in, go to fortisinstitute.org right now to see what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. We would be honored to link arms with you. See, their giving is what puts the Fortis Plus app in your pocket or on your smart TV. If you haven't downloaded it yet, I really want to urge you to do that because every bit of content that we produce is distributed through Fortis Plus. That's our distribution hub, so you can go get it right now, absolutely free of charge, just like the content that it houses. Just go to wherever you download apps on your smartphone or your smart TV, or you can bookmark fortisplus.org. And one last thing that I want to mention to you before we get back to Dr. Gifford, his connection, Dr. Gifford that is, to the Master's University is something that is vitally important. See, Dr. Gifford teaches the next generation of biblical counselors there. And right there at that school, the Master's University, it's a school that trains men and women to take things like anger, like Dr. Gifford is talking about, and they're being taught to take it straight to Scripture instead of the latest therapeutic fad. So if a young person in your life, if they're at a place where they're making a decision about what they're going to do in their future as far as college and university goes, send them to masters.edu/transform because a decision made to go to the Master's University, while it might not be the most convenient decision because it is in Southern California, it is the best decision, one that I promise you they'll never regret. Send them to masters.edu/transform to get the conversation started right now. And let's get back to Dr. Greg Gifford. This is Transformed.
Welcome back to Transformed.
The Bible informs us that difficult events or circumstances are not the cause of our bad decision-making. Trauma merely reveals what is already in the heart.
And now your host, Dr. Greg Gifford.
Okay, welcome back. Thank you for listening and joining in. I am so thankful for Jimmy. He's the man, and his life has been super busy. You've seen a lot of the podcasts that we've done and resources, and Jimmy has just been a faithful brother and super grateful to work with him. Yes, of course, check out Masters, check out Fortis Plus, and if you haven't rated us yet on whatever you're listening to, Spotify, Apple Music, please take a second and do that, and you are helping platform us and train algorithms to get us out there. So please, thank you for doing that. Now, back to the character of God. I finished last segment by saying God himself is angry. And David says that in multiple places. But in Psalm 6, this is, let me give you the exact verse. Psalm 6, verse 1, O Lord, rebuke me not in your anger, nor discipline me in your wrath. If you do hold to the perfections of God, then you believe that God is holy, God is sinless, he himself isn't tempted by sin, James 1, 14, verse 13, 15, and he himself tempts no one. He's separate from sin because he's holy. We also know that God is light and in him is no darkness at all, 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. So God is perfectly holy and sinless, and God has anger. That's significant to note. So God can be angry and can express it in a righteous way. And I would even be okay with using the term wrath, which is his intense hatred of all sin. And when we see that in Psalm 7, verse 6, arise, O Lord, in your anger, lift up yourself against the fury of my enemies. Awake for me, for you have appointed a judgment. I do think that we have a hatred for sin that the Lord has. So if you say the Lord is angry at the unrighteous because he's a righteous judge, in Psalm 7, verse 11, yes, he's angry at sin, and those that do not have the imputed righteousness of Christ are still under the wrath of God, according to John chapter 3. So God is angry toward the unrighteous. Now, here is the turning point then. The turning point is that your anger is different than the anger of God because your anger is not coming from a perfect state of holiness. In fact, in James 1, James, if you remember this, he says, be quick to listen, slow to speak. And the reason that he gives is this. Let me read for you verse 19. Quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Some of you are immediately going to jump to like, God's angry and I'm angry now. By golly, let's get out there and tell everybody how angry we are. It's like, well, probably not. God's anger is coming from a perfect state of righteousness and holiness, and yours is not. So I want you to think of it like a liability. Before you're like, well, we should all be daggum anger people. It's like, well, no, because you're not perfectly holy. You shouldn't seek to cultivate anger from a character that's not perfectly Christ-like. So if you're struggling with anger, what do you do? Well, I mean, you could work on breathing techniques for sure. 1/1000, they're not a moron. 2/1000, they're not a moron. 3, they're still a moron. It's like, you could try that. You could try an ice bath or walking away and counting to 10. And let's see what other fruit issue we could come up with. You could try the rubber band thing and pop your wrist. You could try all of those, or you could do what the Bible suggests in 2 Corinthians 3:18, which is to behold the glory of God and watch that transform you. And you're saying, all right, Dr. G, what you got? How can your boy or your girl behold the glory of God? Well, let me start with this. Have you ever thought that the way that the Lord reveals himself, the way he talks about himself first in the scripture is this way? Okay, remember I mentioned earlier, Moses prays, let me behold your glory. And the Lord says in Exodus 33, verse 19, I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim before you my name, Yahweh, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Exodus 34, verse 6, the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. How does God reveal himself first in the scripture? Some of you listening to this, you're like, he says he's wrath. And it's like, no. Some of you are like, love. God says he's love. The way that God reveals himself in the scripture first is that he's merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. Let's zero in on slow to anger for a second. Psalmists use this. This phrase it's capturing the way that God responds. It actually, if you were to transliterate it, it means like long-nosed. And when you hear that, you probably think Pinocchio, like, oh yeah, God doesn't lie. Think of being so angry that you're making a grimace noise, like, ugh, ugh. That is the disgust or the anger. So God is long-suffering. You could say God is patient. God does not immediately react, but rather God, what he is first and foremost, is God is, he is a slow to anger God. This is what David says in Psalm 86. You, O Lord, are merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. I think everyone listening to this podcast, all three of us, thank you, Mom. I think everyone listening to this would say, I am so thankful that the Lord is slow to anger. We rejoice in that as we are the benefactor of God's slow to angerness toward us. None of us are saying, I wish God would just react more quickly to my sinfulness. That God is, he is taking a long time. He is withholding punishment. He is withholding reacting quickly, choosing to act in and of himself quickly to sin. He is patient. The way that Grudem defines the patience of God is this way. He withholds punishment from those who sin over a period of time. Now, many of you are no longer in your sins because you've been converted, and God has actually imputed to you the righteousness of Christ. So you have that alien righteousness, Philippians 3, a righteousness not your own. But there was a season in which the wrath of God did weigh upon you. And apart from the work of Christ, you were under the wrath of God. What does that mean? God's patience has led you to repentance. And that is the point of God's patience, creating a space in which you can turn and repent. Aren't you eternally grateful that God is patient? God deals with our sins, not just like I'm a complainer like the Israelites, but I was anti-God. I was an enemy of God, Romans 5, 8, and 10. And God loved his enemy. God is patient with me. He's patient with my failures. He's patient with my sins. He's patient with my foolishness and my mistakes. If you are an angry person, what do you need to saturate yourself with? You need to behold the glory of God's patience. Okay, let me give you one more. And what I would do is I would bask in it. I would revel in the patience of God. I would study that for 2 months. I would memorize verses about the patience of God. But let me give you one more. I'm also going to include the justice of God. And you're like, wait, Dr. G, what? What's the matter with you? It's like, hang on. Remember Dr. Jones, what he said. He said it's a whole person's response of judgment against another person or against perceived evil that someone might do. God's justice means that he always acts in accordance with what is right and is the final standard of what is right. God is just. Will not the judge of all the earth do what is right? Genesis 18, and the answer is yes, he will. I don't have to be the avenger. So I overcome evil with good. Read Exodus 15 in the Song of Moses, where he says, the Lord is the one that has swallowed up the Pharaoh, the armies of Egypt. The Lord is a warrior for his people. God's justice is better than mine. In your angry bouts, you need to rest in the fact that God will settle accounts better than you could ever do that. For the unbeliever, that means that there will be a great white throne judgment and there will be a lake of fire. For the believer, the work of Christ has paid for the debt that they owed you, but Jesus paid that debt to forgive them. So what do? You trust the justice of God. And his justice is better than yours. Seriously, and as silly as this may seem, recently I was on a family vacation and I was annoyed about how loud people were being in a public environment. And I thought, like, man, I could go over and confront, but then what if it gets out of control and blah, blah, blah. And I thought to myself, wait a minute, Lord, I trust you. If these individuals are knowingly being inconsiderate, then your justice is better than Greg's justice. Friends, meditate on the glory of God's patience and his justice and watch him transform your anger. Your anger won't go away and it doesn't need to, but it will be attuned back to the things of God. So you can legitimately say, I am angry over the things that anger the Lord. That's my prayer for you. And I hope that you would pray that for me as well. Let's finish in a time of prayer. Lord, we come to you as imperfect people who justify our anger. We legitimize our anger because we are entitled or we're tired or we feel like we were disrespected. Help us to be humble. Help us to first acknowledge that we have anger issues and that we need patience and we need forgiveness. Lord, but help us to know where to go, which is not to ourself and to our breathing patterns and rubber bands we pop ourselves with, but help us to behold your glory so that we could become like you. Lord, we want to be patient so that we can not just be at peace internally, even though I do think that's a byproduct, Lord, but help us to be patient so that we could be the image bearers you've called us to be and thus be a testimony of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.
This has been Transformed from Dr. Greg Gifford, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Transform with Dr. Greg Gifford, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.